The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and issue number 99. We are counting down to 100. And this one is The New Mutants. Very excited to get to this. I have no idea what John thinks of this movie. I can't wait. Actually, I'm lying. We've already recorded it. I know what he thinks of it, but I'm trying to channel how I felt going into this. This is a good episode. We had a really good time with this one. Starts off in a completely wrong direction, but hey, that's us. So, hey, let's get into the store and hear our opinions on the latest Marvel, I guess, Fox Marvel venture. Hey, let's do it. Hey, Subdued Nudie, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
You're playing off of that. I see you titled yourself as Subdued Nudie today.
That's my porn name.
That's awful. That's
Ron Jeremy was taken.
Oh, I wouldn't be mentioning his name right now.
That's why.
That's not a good call. I don't know if Subdued is actually. I don't know if that's a good name for that.
They're fetish videos, you know. So.
What's the fetish? I'm not interested.
Disinterest? I'm subdued. don't make me go down this rabbit hole, man.
You started it. Let it go. Oh man, this is. I love when you bring things up and then tell me not to go down this rabbit hole. Well, why did you?
I didn't bring anything up. I just typed it in the thing. It was a private joke for you.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't meant for public consumption.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to put that in the title then. Not meant for public consumption.
I don't think I can put that many characters. It's like Twitter. There's a 140 character limit.
They're at 280 now.
Oh, okay.
I know, you're not on Twitter. I keep forwarding
I didn't even know that.
You didn't notice that these messages I'm forwarding you are now twice as long?
It's starting to get longer. I would if I read them, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, as of last Monday, it's painfully obvious this is recorded ahead of time, so nothing exciting has happened. This is our Monday podcast.
Right.
It's like... So... If anything big happened over the weekend, we apologize for not
mentioning
it.
We'll talk to you on Thursday.
We'll talk to you on Thursday. Yeah. So, anyways, what were those books that you talked about last week, which was a few hours, not like an hour ago? What were your...
Yeah, last week, as in, yeah. Well, they were the Alex Ross variants.
Oh, yeah, that list of Alex Rosses. I haven't had a chance
X-Factor
to look since
X-Factor number
then.
4, The Fantastic Four 23, I think. I already deleted. I already deleted the email.
Oops.
So,
yeah. No.
All the Alex Ross variants for this week. The Fantastic Four, like I mentioned, there's actually four Alex Ross variants. There's one for each member of the team, and
right.
They're great. Yeah, they're really good. You can't really go wrong.
And luckily,
with
they're Marvel, so you can check these out. You can. You know, sign
you can
up
actually
for these
still
on,
get them on FOC
on Monday
today.
If your store's
yes.
open on Labor Day. Are you open on
yes.
Labor Day?
I think I'm going to close, actually.
Oh, well, you already did your FOC for DC. Might as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to be closed. Mondays are slow days anyways, and the Monday holidays tend to be really slow. So
yeah. Oh, good for
I'm
you.
I'm just going to save a little payroll and probably take the day off.
Alrighty. Well, alright. You ready to get to this week's topic?
I am.
Alright. This is a big one. This could get Subdued Nudie, you know, what was it? What was the Excited Nudie, whatever we called it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. It was so long ago, John. It was Thursday.
Yeah. I don't remember, though.
I don't either. So, alright. Let's play this trailer. Then we'll see what happens, because I'm very interested. Spoilers here. I have no idea where this is going.
All right.
What's the last thing you remember, Danny? He said we had to run. The reason you survived is because you're a very uncommon girl. You're not alone. Not anymore. Do you know what mutants are? Would anyone like to share their first time? Rain?
I was 13. I thought it was a dream. I just lost control.
Sam?
I started panicking. People got hurt.
Roberto?
My girlfriend had a partner.
Ileana?
I killed 18 men. One by one. This isn't a hospital. It's a cage.
It's important we find out your power so we can help you get better.
I saw something I don't think she wanted me to see. I don't think we're here to get better.
This place takes your greatest fear and makes you live through it until it kills you.
Who's there? We can get out of this together.
All right, my first question to you is, did you see that trailer ahead of time or a trailer?
Yeah.
We watched trailers, right? You watched these leading up to this movie.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, so my next question is, what were your expectations off the trailers, off of what you know? What were your expectations going into this movie?
Low.
Low because of the trailers?
Not because of the trailer. It's just, I had low expectations for this movie. I mean, this movie was so troubled, you know, from the start. You know, we heard nothing but stories of issues with this movie, even before COVID. Like, this thing had problems that didn't have anything to do with COVID. So I had low expectations for this. The trailer itself didn't lower them further. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I thought the trailer looked fine, but I wasn't expecting to be blown away by this.
If we didn't have a podcast to do on this, would you have gone and seen this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely was going to go. I mean, I was always going to see it.
Right.
You know, I might not have seen it opening day, but I was always going to go see this movie. But, you know, I did go. And I didn't go see it, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure we were going to talk about this or not. I mean, I didn't go see it for the podcast. Now, the fact that it was in a theater in the time that we're in right now had something to do with it. You know, I would have gone to see just about anything, you know, just to be able to go to the theater and see a movie. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I was always going to see this movie.
That's interesting you say that, because is Mulan coming out in the theaters as well?
Not here that I know of. I mean, I don't think it's going to have a domestic release.
I thought they, I
know
overseas
for sure
it's,
going overseas.
Yeah.
I thought initially that it was going to have limited release here in the States, but I haven't seen anything near me anyways, because again, you know, to go back to Thursday's show, I don't know that I necessarily want to pay $30 to rent this at home. I would absolutely go see this in the theater this weekend, though.
And of course, at the time we're recording this, this weekend hasn't happened yet. So when this comes out on Monday, we may know if it's like, maybe it did come out.
I might have seen it. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
Right.
Yes, I feel the same way. This was the first movie playing when my theater opened back up, and I was lucky enough to be able to be there for the first showing when the theater opened. And I was there for the last showing when the theater closed. If you remember,
I saw
Bloodshot, and it was, I bought my ticket.
Okay, that's what, not to interrupt you, but I was trying to think of what the last movie I saw was, and that, you're right, it was Bloodshot.
Yeah.
Because I saw it the Sunday before everything shut down, so.
Yeah, and I bought my tickets so Joe and I could see it on a Tuesday. He had come home from school, and I bought the tickets like the day before. And then that morning, Showcase shut down that Tuesday morning, they shut down all their cinemas starting at 8 p.m. And I had tickets for 7. So this was the last showing. I was like, oh. So I saw the last one.
You shut it down and you opened it back up.
Yep. And I was actually disappointed going back. They had zero concessions. Did yours have concessions?
Yes, we had concessions. Oh. Now, we had no refills. So usually if you buy the large popcorn and the large drink, you get a refill, which they weren't doing any refills, but they did have full concessions.
It was awkward. We had no concessions, and I went in there starving because I was, you know, movie theater and it up. I wanted the popcorn. Right. I wanted a candy. I was going to have a soda, and I don't even drink soda anymore. I'm like, I was going to do it all up. And I get in there and everything, it was like a ghost town. Nothing's open. Yeah. It's just go in and go see your movie.
Get out.
basically they got you. Yeah. And they're funneling you out in a different direction. You can't go out the way you came in. It's all one way.
Oh, really? See, ours wasn't that regimented.
Well, you're in Texas.
We don't care. We play fast and loose with our lives here in Texas.
Right.
As you know, as our numbers will show. But yeah, they didn't really do, you know, obviously they're social distancing, the seating and all that stuff. And you have to have a mask when
that
you go
was
in.
Nice.
But, you know, once you go in and sit down with your concessions in the theater, you can take your mask off. But, you know, I liked I like social distancing in the theaters because.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's sitting next to you.
So. Yeah, you had to have two seats between you and the next, quote, party.
Yeah.
So the way they divided it out is you got to have, I mean, I suppose you could take up a whole row if your party took up the whole row.
You can, right.
But
your party was, you could buy those seats, and then the next two seats next to you automatically
would be vacant.
Be vacant, right? So
when I got mine, we were the first two in the theater, so I was like, okay, right here. But it was nice on either side. No, yeah, and there was nobody in the theater when we saw it anyways. I think there were, and I say nobody, but I mean there were probably maybe four other people.
Oh, really? Because we had
four other groups. That was
we had 15 to 20 people probably.
But I saw it at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Well, I saw it 6:30 Thursday night. I mean, I saw it.
Oh, really? Did it open on Thursday there? I thought it opened on the 28th on Friday.
It opened here Thursday night. I saw it at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, there was probably 15, 20 other people in the theater. Now, again, this is a theater that seats a couple hundred. So, I mean, that's not, you know, it still was pretty low. But still, it was more people than I thought would go. Especially for this movie, which wasn't expected to do, you know, huge box office numbers anyways.
Right. And what did it end up doing? Like 8 million?
It did. I think it was projected to do 8 and it did 7. I mean, it did a little. It
7,
did
9,
under projection,
almost 8.
But
yeah.
But yeah, but it was close. You know, it was close to what they were predicting. Now, I don't know what the projections would have been in a normal, you know, non-COVID world. They probably would have been expecting 20 to $30 million probably, but.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
I mean, it was never going to do 300 million, but I mean, probably 20, 25 million is.
But considering a lot of theaters aren't even open, and the ones that are at limited capacity.
And I mean, and this is no indictment on the movie, because we'll talk about the movie here in a minute, but it had to be fairly low budget. Like, it was more or less one set, you know, like, it wasn't a huge. I mean, there was some special effects, don't get me wrong. But,
67
I mean,
million was the budget.
But yeah, it which is relatively low for a superhero movie.
Right.
But they never would have made $67 million back opening weekend. You know, never. So,
no.
I mean, this movie will be lucky to do $67 million total over its lifetime. Like, if it makes its money back at all,
right.
You know, I'd be very surprised. Especially since, like, it, again, you know, before we get to our own opinions, I mean, it is getting roasted on, you know, by the critics and on, you know.
Yes and no.
And
I mean,
that,
some people aren't roasting it, but, I mean, yes, there are some fairly negative opinions out there.
So I don't think this ever does $70 million.
No.
Nope.
You know. No.
So,
all right. Let's, well, keep going spoiler free here for a little bit. Let's get to it. What did you think?
I liked it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Liked it a lot, actually.
All right. I share that opinion. Why did you like it a lot? I wonder if we share that opinion.
Well, just because I think it was a fresh take in the superhero genre. I mean, we knew all along that this was going to have a horror bent to it, but I mean, they really played up on that. Like, this was so much less a superhero movie than it was like a supernatural type of, you know, it was a horror movie. It had jump scares. Like, it had literal, you know, jump scares throughout. You know, I mean, it was not, it's not Friday the 13th or anything like that, but I mean, it had creepy moments and it was definitely skewed as a horror movie, and I liked that. I thought that was, you know, a really fresh take on the genre, and I enjoyed it. You know, I really liked it. I mean, it had enough mystery. Like, I didn't figure it out right away. I mean, I did figure it out before the end, but I didn't.
Yes.
I didn't figure it out right away. So it had enough suspense to keep me, you know, really kind of guessing what was going on. I really liked all the characters. I mean, I thought they did a pretty good job developing everybody. They were very, for the most part, fairly comic accurate, you know, with their powers and their backgrounds and all of that. So, yeah, I thought they did a good job. I mean, it's really unfortunate. Like, the unfortunate part of this movie is that it was a lot of setup for a dead franchise, you know, because, like, this is not going anywhere. And that's the one thing is that you know that throughout the whole movie. You know, so, like, you can see the setup for the New Mutants, you know, for this to go forward, and you know it's not going to.
Right.
So, like, to me, that's the one thing. Yeah, that's a little disappointing. Because, again, if they go to a sequel, is it a horror movie too? Like, I don't think it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the elements that made this skew towards,
we'll
like,
get
the
into
horror.
That. Spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, but the. Right, I'm just going to say, like, the elements that made it seem like a horror movie would not be present in a sequel. So I think if this went forward, this would be, you know, your kind of your more traditional X-Men, you know, kind of story. But yeah, like I said, I thought this was kind of a fresh take, and I really liked it.
Yeah, what I liked is exactly like you said, it's that fresh take, but what I'll add to that is it's barely an X-Men story.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't title it New Mutants, you could have titled this something else and then surprised people that it was an X-Men story.
Right.
You know, which I thought that could have been a fun way to go with it had they given it more creative of a title. And then it wasn't until after you saw the movie that you're like, wait a minute, those are X-Men characters or, you know,
well,
mutants.
And I did like the fact that in this world, the X-Men were heroes.
Yes.
Like they're known and they are heroes. Because that's not how they were really portrayed through most of their own movies. You know, towards the very end of, and now I haven't seen Dark Phoenix, Dark Phoenix, but from what I understand, like in that movie, they were kind of more well known and they were kind of the heroes. Like,
yes.
They were sent out on, you know, like a mission by the president or whatever. Like I said, and I haven't seen it. Somebody was actually telling me that today when we were talking about New Mutants. So that kind of tracks that, you know, that's where they were when this story takes place. So I liked that connection.
You know what else it reminded me of? And this, of course, is spoiler free, but it reminded me, just a little bit of the story reminded me of the kids in Logan. Where in that Logan world where the mutants in Logan, which Logan takes place in the future, but the mutants are heroes. They've had their time. They're doing their thing. And of course, you know, and you remember in Logan, he's reading the book, reading the comics and saying, this never happened this way and everything. But I liked how they referenced in Logan, how they referenced the mutants there. And they did a similar thing here where it was like, okay, well, we have our story and the mutants are elsewhere. And it reminded me a little bit of Logan.
And
there's
no parallel to Logan here, but. Well, I was going
to
ask because, again, this is not really a spoiler, but I thought they referenced Logan in this movie because it seemed to me that when they showed the scene of Essex Corp and what was happening with the kids there,
yeah.
I thought that was from Logan.
Right.
Like, I thought that was repurposed footage from Logan, which would put this movie in the future, you know, more in the future than
maybe,
because they never really say where in the X-Men timeline we are.
Right.
You know, they just refer to the X-Men as heroes.
Right.
So this could be in the future, because I thought that was the same footage. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I wanted to ask you if you thought that it was the same.
I would say, yeah, I would, because I think that's exactly what I was thinking too when I mentioned that. I was thinking of that scene. I'm like, wait a minute, is that from that? And that'll be very interesting to go back over.
Because those kids from the end of Logan would be like the previous class to the
right.
New
Mutants.
For
all we know, this could be taking place years before Logan, and it's an earlier thing. And of course, this is all spoiler free to this movie in itself. What we're comparing here are just the ideals and maybe a timeline of when this took place. But this isn't, it has nothing to do with the movie really. But there is that one scene that, like you said, that Essex Corp and everything. And I thought the same thing. And it's, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. It'll be very interesting to go over this movie when we get it on disc, because I'll definitely get it.
Yeah, and I definitely will compare the footage. But again, like, I don't think, you know, again, I know we're trying to talk spoiler-free, and I don't think this is spoilery, but, like, they say, you know, these kids are, you know, the New Mutants, they're in a school, supposedly to learn how to use their powers. But they talk about graduating and leaving. And I think the kids from Logan are kids that would have graduated and left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I know what you're saying. And that's why I think we'll get more into this in spoilers, because there's tangents we can go down here that, yeah, I can agree with you and maybe disagree with you a little bit here. But yeah, I do agree, though. It is small disappointment that it isn't going to go on from here. But it is a good movie unto itself. I mean, it's a complete story. You have, you know, we just don't get to pull on those threads at the end. But, you know, you have a complete story that I thought was, like you said, very intriguing throughout. It had you on the edge of your seat. You're trying to figure out what's going to happen next, who it's going to happen with. Each character, like you said, was developed well enough and at a pace that it's like, is that the character? Do I know? Like, are they going to, is that who I think that is? And, you know, from mutant lore. And I thought they were each acted out well. I thought everybody did a great job. You know, Maisie Williams was fantastic. And it's so funny seeing her, because this was filmed how many years ago? So she looks even younger than I think at the end of Game of Thrones season 8.
Yeah.
Because this was filmed before that.
Yeah, it's a couple years old for sure. Yeah, because I kept thinking, my wife and I both thought that the girl that played Magic, Ileana, was the girl from Killing Eve.
So did we.
But it's not.
I
checked.
Because I know,
I was
so
like,
did
man,
we.
I was like, because this movie's a couple years old, so I was like, it could be her.
That's exactly
what
really I was
going to
say.
It sounded like
next.
Her, and it kind of looked like her.
Yep.
But I know the name of that woman, so when I watched the credits, I was like, oh, no, it's not her. But
so here's the funny thing. The girl that plays her, Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yeah.
She's American.
Yeah.
She was born in Miami, but she was like, I read all about it. I don't know if she even has like that Russian accent.
No, she doesn't. Yeah, I read the same thing.
Yeah, she was raised in Argentina until she was like 6 and then lived in England. So if anything, she might have an accent, but it's not Russian.
Right.
And she sounds just like the girl from Killing Eve. And
she does.
Looks
yeah.
just like
yeah.
her. And it's like, throughout the movie, like, we checked during the movie, Jen's like looking on her phone, and it's like,
oh, I waited till after, but. And,
well, nobody was around us, so right. we didn't feel bad. But Jen checked, and she goes, I didn't see, it's not her. And then we get out to the car, I'm like, double check that, because you're right, she's dead on for that girl from Killing Eve.
Yeah.
And it's, she's great too.
Yeah, she is, cause, yeah, it's Jodie Comer is the girl from Killing Eve.
Oh, okay.
Which I knew her name, and that's why I
now,
was.
Now, is she
waiting.
Russian too, or is she doing that?
Oh, accent? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I know her name from the credits from watching that show, so I was looking at the credits of this thinking, you know, it's gotta be her, but it wasn't.
Yeah, we'll get more into that character too, cause there's some spoiler stuff there we could talk about. You ready to talk, spoilers?
I'm always ready to talk spoilers. So.
You're ready to slip up all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Lock the door.
All right.
All right. What do you want to talk first?
No idea.
Let's go with the love story.
Okay.
Which in a horror movie, you don't see coming. I didn't see this love story in particular coming. And I thought they did a great
actually.
Job with it. Not going into the movie.
Not going into the movie, but right. early on in the movie, I saw it like right away. Like, I don't think they did a very good job of masking it, to be honest with you.
no, I don't think they were trying to mask it. But.
No. But I mean, it was pretty obvious that was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, going into it, yeah, through any of the trailers or lead up to it, I don't think they hinted or spoiled at it at all. So.
And it's funny because the main character, the top bill, is Maisie Williams because of Game of Thrones.
Right.
But I felt like that main character, Danny,
right,
was fantastic.
Yeah.
She did a great, I mean, who is she?
I don't know. I'd never seen her before. I thought she did a really good job. Now, she's one of the criticisms that I've heard.
Really?
Because a lot of people don't feel like she was Native American enough for Danny Moonstar. Because, again, I don't know if you follow the comics at all, but she's...
Well, I know she's supposed to be an Indian. I know,
yeah, very,
you know,
very
Native
it's not,
American.
It's not Indian. It's Native American, sir.
Okay.
Please send all your letters to DJ at the Bright Side Chat.
Yeah, like when you mail to Santa.
You probably still say the Washington Redskins. Come on, man.
I didn't say that. You said that.
I say
the Washington football
it.
Team. No, I didn't know Indian was bad.
Well, I think it's Native American. But okay. Anyways, like either that way. Was one of the, you know, there was a lot of criticism with the casting, and mainly with her and then with Sunspot, with Roberto, because, again, a lot of people felt like he wasn't dark enough, that it was a little bit whitewashed. So that's some of the big criticisms that I've heard. But I thought both of the actors did a great job, honestly. I think both of those characters were done really well.
So it's funny because Blue Hunt, who plays Danielle Moonstar, mm-hmm. in her bio, it doesn't say anything about her being any kind of Native American or anything like that. But Henry Zaga, who plays Roberto, mm-hmm. he actually is Latin American. If not even, actually, he's a Latino actor born in Brasilia, Brazil's capital city. So,
right, but in the comics, Roberto is more, I guess, black and Argentinian roots.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
he's a much darker character in the comics. So, I mean, he might, you know, this guy is Argentinian, but he's...
Well, this guy's Brazilian.
Brazilian, rather, but he's light-skinned.
Right.
You know? And I think there was some exception with that.
Okay.
Again, not just what I've read. Not,
right.
Not
no, I did read that.
All,
I didn't read the one about Blue Hunt not yeah. being Native American enough.
I don't think she's Native American at all with that name. So, and I don't know, like you said, because I guess it doesn't mention.
Right.
Which is just a thing, like, you know, again, now this movie was filmed... What, 3 years ago or 4 years ago? So,
right.
You know, yeah, things have changed in the last couple of years. But even, you know, we were talking about this even a couple of years ago when they cast, like, Matt Damon in the Chinese Wall movie or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking Matt Dillon. I don't know why, but I'm like, Matt Damon. What? But yeah,
and,
Matt Damon.
You know, Scarlett Johansson as...
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we had already kind of started talking about...
But that I can see where you're like, that's whitewashing. Those are white characters playing other roles. Whereas, like Henry Zaga actually is Latino. He's not even an American. And that's not good enough. But like you said, it's been a few years since they made this. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like I said, things are changing always. But I know that we're more sensitive now than we've ever been to roles going, you know, basically to the ethnicity or gender assignment or, you know, that they're portraying. You know, we should be as accurate as possible. And I just know there was a lot of criticism of that with regard to this movie. I just think that's something that they're going to have to be very careful of going forward, because our society now is expecting us to be better.
Right.
With that. I don't think there's any kind of indictment on their performances.
Right. So let's get back to that.
Yeah, I think they think they did a great job. Like Danny, you know, the actress did a great job. She was definitely the lead of this movie. You know, I think deservedly so. Like I said, I think she did a really good job.
I thought she carried the movie.
Yeah.
She, because like you felt for that character the entire time. And until you figure it out, like you said, you figure it out a little bit early, but until you figure out exactly what's going on, that the terror everybody's going through and the confusion that Danny has, because she doesn't know why she's there. She doesn't know what happened right at the beginning. You actually don't even know what happened at the beginning, because when she first got brought in, they were like, oh, it was a tornado. And it felt like they were telling her that as a lie. But
right,
then later on in the movie, they were like, you told us it was a tornado.
Right.
And so it was like there was a bunch of confusion going on, which kind of played
into
it.
Well, and again, you don't attribute what's happening to her, because she's having nightmares as well.
Right.
So like she wasn't immune to herself. So you don't really catch on that it's her, because she's suffering the same as everybody else. It's not until, like I said, it goes a little bit further on and it starts to kind of unravel a little bit, and you figure out, you know, that she's the one really causing everything. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I thought they did a good job of kind of leading you away from it for a while and keeping you guessing.
Oh, yeah. I thought, I would say, just one little nitpick. I thought her father at the beginning, the acting out of him, I didn't think was that great. When he was like talking to her, putting her in the tree there. And he just, I don't know. I felt like that was a little corny, maybe a little overacted. But that,
yeah, I don't know. I like that
very
guy.
Small.
I mean,
I like
him,
the guy. I just thought
I've seen
it was,
him in other things. So I like him. I don't know. It didn't bother me.
Yeah. I just know when the movie, and that might have been my preconceived, like everybody saying this is going to be awful, blah, blah, blah. And then you just,
right.
I saw that scene, and I was like, but then all of that was taken away as this movie played out. I didn't think of any of the preconceived notions I had or anything like that about what this was going to be. And as it was playing out, you felt scared like they did. And that, I think the, like, when you really felt it was that scene in the pool.
Yeah.
When you're like, what is going on here? Because you had no idea up until then really what was going on.
Right.
Where they were. You felt like the horror was coming from them just being trapped there.
Right.
I think that was the first scene, right? Where you were really like it, like images were being done.
Well, right. Well, and then you find out that after all that stuff's going on in the pool, they flash to Ileana being in her room.
In her room, right.
Right. So then that's when it kind of clicks that she's not there.
She's not there, but at the same time, you're not sure if that's her doing it, because you'd seen her powers earlier where she disappeared and came back, and you're like, can she do this? It's like, what's going on? Because Danielle and Rain are off in the field together.
Right.
They're having their first moment together.
Right.
And so whatever's going on in the pool, you have no idea that that's Danny
right.
doing that. And But that was the real, that was the first real horror element of this movie, where it really turned from a mystery of what is this building they're in, and how are they going to get out of there, and what's really going on with them. And then it turned into that real horror vibe where it's a bunch of kids stuck in a building and somebody's trying to kill them. And then we find out it's a made up monster, which it really went to a complete horror direction.
Well, yeah. And again, it's a lot of, kind of Nightmare Before Christmas. Not Nightmare Before Christmas, Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know why I said that. because it's a lot of, you don't know that any of this is actually physically manifesting. You know, it seems like it's all...
But they were physically bleeding.
Well, right. But then until really when it clicked for me was when Rain got branded. You know? Like she actually got branded. And then you're like, this isn't in her mind anymore. It can't be.
Speaking of that...
It became physical, so...
Did you notice her brand... Her first brand is on her shoulder.
Right.
That the priest did before she was there.
Right.
Right? And that was a W.
Right.
For witch, because that's what the priest thought she was.
Right.
And then the brand that Danny puts on her, which it's basically the same priest, but now it's from Danny's image.
Right.
Right? It's an upside down W, which is an M for mutant. I thought that was pretty cool.
Right.
You know, because it's like, it's playing, because now she's a mutant, and they're, you know, there's a part of society shunning the mutants, and they've been locked into this building, and that's Danny's portrayal of, I'm a mutant, and I've been locked away in this building, and
right,
then
it's still a brand.
Yeah,
it's still
she
a
brands
mark. Yeah.
Rain with that mutant mark on her neck, which, when that happened, I leaned over to Jen, and I'm like, I can feel that, that hurt. Like,
yeah.
That was a brutal scar. But at that point, we still didn't know. That was still early on. We still didn't know at that point that it was Danny doing
it. We didn't know it was her, but that's, again, that's when I first clicked to me that these were physical manifestations. Because then you cut fast forward a little bit more, and, like, Ileana's dream are those creatures, whatever, with the mouths and all that. That's when you know they're there. Like, it's not in their heads. Like, they're being chased by them, and there's real danger there. Because they're physical, like they can actually hurt them. I thought that was good.
Right. When I started to figure it out was a little bit later on, and you start to put it together, like really like by elimination. And you say they're trapped in this building, you know, trapped in this bubble put on by Dr. Reyes, you know, because she can do that.
Right.
So nobody can get in and nobody can get out. And all of this stuff that's happening is new to all the people that were there before.
Right.
So only by that process of elimination was I able to be like, oh, well, obviously it has to be her. That's why Ileana was the first one to figure it out.
Right. She actually said it, too. She's like, you know, none of this started happening until you got here. So, but yeah, it took us a while to figure it out ourselves, too. You know.
Right.
Having nightmares or any of that stuff until she got there. So,
right. And she can do this awake because it, like you said, in Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy only comes after you when you're sleeping.
Right.
Right. So if Danny was sleeping every time this happened, that would be dead giveaway.
Right.
She would be dreaming this up and it would be happening to these people. For instance, the pool incident happened while she was wide awake. Having her little rendezvous in the field with Rain.
Right.
You know, and I don't know, maybe because of what they were doing in the field, mixing that with, so she was, I don't know, imagining that this is what could happen. Who was she in the pool with? That was Roberto? Right.
It was Roberto, yeah.
Yeah. You see what I mean? They didn't exactly give it away either.
No, they didn't. That's what I'm saying. They did a pretty good job of leading you away from the truth. Speaking of that scene where they're laying in the field, and this doesn't have anything to do with what we were just talking about, but I thought that scene was awesome with the rain coming down on the bubble.
Yeah.
I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah, and how they're looking up at it, and you could just see it all just hitting, and what did it turn red?
And it's changing like colors, and I thought that was a really cool scene, because I would have never thought of that, you know. But she's like, oh, it's going to rain. Like, what's her name? Well, Rain. knew that it was going to rain and dragged her out there to see it. You know, she's like, you got to come and see this. And I thought that was really, like, I would have never thought of that. That was really cool.
Now, early on in the movie, speaking of rain, did you know that was her the first time that Danny ran and that and the wolf chased her? But you didn't, it wasn't chasing her. It was like running along with them.
Yeah. No, I did. Absolutely. Because I know the character from
you
the
know
comics.
The character. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. And I was like, you know, I thought it was something after her. And then obviously you see that it's friendly.
Right.
Later on in the movie. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like I said, I have the knowledge of knowing who all these characters are. So, you know, like I've read the New Mutants for years. So, you know, I knew who they all were. And like I said, I thought there was a great portrayal of all of them and all of their powers. Now, there was a little bit of criticism again with Sunspot because, you know, he's supposed to turn black when he transforms. And they did kind of have it just a little bit at the end. But, like, his powers were a little bit different than the comics, and some people were, complaining about that. But I thought they did a great, really good job with magic, you know, with the sword and, you know, the limbo and all that stuff was really good. Now, I was a little bothered that she had Lockheed, because Lockheed isn't hers in the comics, you know.
But
Lockheed,
I loved it in the movie. I
loved
that
character.
Yeah,
I liked Lockheed being there, but Lockheed is Kitty's.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a little strange to me that, you know, that she had Lockheed. But I liked that it was like her, like you didn't know it was going to manifest physically until about halfway or more through the movie.
Right.
You know,
you thought it was
just
thought
it was her. Yeah, it was her puppet and kind of like her security blanket. But then when she's, you know, in limbo, she has Lockheed, which was really cool. So yeah. I liked the way that whole thing played out. But I was like, why does she have Lockheed? Like, just that to me it's bothered me a little bit because again, I know the comics. If you don't know the comics at all, you wouldn't have ever.
No, didn't bother me
about it. Yeah.
Well, they change in all of these movies. They change.
Well, they do change things.
They change something, a little something with everybody. And it seems to me that like if people like the movie, they're like, oh, I love the change. I love what they did. But if they don't like, those are the dumbest change ever. But
well, to me, that
mind
would be
the changes
like
over here.
To me, that would be like having a movie with Superman and Robin. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, I don't
like
think Lockheed
Robin
is
goes
Robin.
With Batman. You know, well, but Robin goes with Batman. Lockheed goes with Kitty. You know what I mean? I don't know. To like I said, it was weird for me to have that there, but like I said, yeah, they're a movie. They change something in every movie, so.
Right.
I mean, it's not the end of the world. It really, in the scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. It's a small thing, but.
Right.
But I was just like, as soon as they did that, I was like, why does she have Lockheed?
Yeah.
You know?
But I thought Lockheed played a great role, too. I mean, later on in the movie, when they were fighting, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
And she's a badass fighter, too. Ileana?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was great. Now, in the comics, when she said, when they were doing their little round thing, did she really kill that many people? Does she
probably
have a history like that in the comics?
Yeah, probably. Like, she's the ruler of Limbo, which they didn't really play up in this movie too much. Limbo was kind of like her safe place, but it's a little bit different in the comics. And again, I don't know if you know the character very well from the comics at all, but it's Colossus's sister. It's Ileana Rasputin, which is... Like I said, she's Colossus's sister, but they didn't play that. Didn't come into play at all in this movie.
Like, did she no even mention that? Like,
no,
her
I don't
brother,
think so.
She didn't say
no.
Anything.
No, they did show
There's
her name.
Very little mention of any mutants at all.
Right.
Which other again, than that they know they exist
would actually lock a particular timeline in, right? Because if that's
right,
if she's a sister to Colossus, then it couldn't be taking place 30 years after, like Deadpool or the X-Men movies, you know,
right?
Because the age would be, you know, wouldn't make sense. But again, they never really said it, but her name was on the, I guess on the door or something, or on the file. Somewhere they showed her name as Rasputin. So they did.
Yes.
You know, they did give it, but, there was no mention of it. Yeah. And you're right. There was no mention of specific X, like there was no talk of Colossus or Storm or.
Even when Dr. Reyes would say like her superiors, isn't that what she called them? And everybody was speculating they wouldn't say his name, like Professor X.
Right.
But they
said we all know
who they're talking about. That's how
they referenced it. It wasn't at all. Yeah. It's Mr. Sinister is her superior. Because Essex, she worked for Essex Corporation, which is owned by, which is Mr. Sinister.
Right.
So.
But that's what I mean. But
which again was teased a little
you.
Bit in Logan. So there were connections there. Like if this had gone forward, you know, it would be interesting to see what they did, you know, with these characters, because they were setting up connections that, you know, just kind of got dropped because we're not going to get any more movies. But yeah, half, you know, all the way through the movie, you think, because again, for a while, you don't know that she's really, like, you don't know that she's not what she says she is. Like, she could just believe that she's a doctor working for Charles, you know, and you don't know for sure, because even me, through a chunk of the movie, was like, is it Charles? You know, it could be.
Right.
Until, you know, they do this kind of like the flash forward or the scene where they show Essex Corp. I think it was like a premonition or something. I don't remember exactly how they showed it, but. And then I was like, oh, right away, I was like, oh, she works for Sinister, you know, so.
We haven't talked about Sam yet.
Yeah, we haven't. which I guess to me, now I like the actor who played Sam.
Yeah, Charlie Heaton.
Yeah, from Stranger Things.
Yep.
But to me, he was the least comic accurate. Now they did a good job, I guess, with the accent, you know, and making him like the country kid, but. You know, in the comics, he's tall and skinny with the blonde buzz cut haircut. So he didn't look the part at all. But he act like the character in the movie was really, I liked a lot, you know, and I liked his story. Really all of them, you know, they did a good job kind of like each one of them had something bad happen when their powers first manifested.
Right.
Like, so
and
they
that's
all,
kinda why they said
and
they
all
were there.
Kinda, right. And they all agreed that they should be there. And that's why none of them were really fighting it, because they all had a bad experience. But I didn't get it right away until, you know, he was having his nightmare when he was in the mine. And then it was like, oh, he blasted off or his powers manifested when he was in the mine and he killed everybody. But I liked that story, and I thought he was a really good character. And I don't know if that's comic, like, I don't remember if that's happened to him in the comics where, you know, he killed his father or not. I couldn't tell you, but I liked that story with him.
Yeah.
Like I said, all of them had, you know, like I said, Roberto killed his, you know, burned up his girlfriend. So like they all had something bad happen to them when their powers manifested. And it really with Danny too, same thing, like her powers manifested and she killed her whole village. You know, she just didn't know it. So none of them are arguing with the fact that they need to be there because they all.
Well, that's the thing. And that sleight of hand that they did with, obviously with the characters, but with the viewer, that you thought, just like the characters thought, that, oh, like, we deserve to be here.
Right.
But when we get our acts together, we're going to get to be X-Men. Because that's what, I mean, didn't they even say that at some point?
Yeah.
They said once we're being developed
to be X-Men. Right.
And, oh, that's right. Because then at the end, I think, was it Ileana was the one that realized, she's like, we're not being groomed to be X-Men. We're groomed to be killers.
Right.
That's when they figured out this is, you know, Charles isn't the one that's in charge here. That's
Charles
a whole other show.
Yeah.
But, whoops.
I didn't see Scott Baio in this movie. I must have missed him.
Yeah, I know. It's like Marilyn Manson was in it. Maybe Scott Baio showed up.
Yeah.
I thought that was great because it led you in that direction too.
Yeah, because I'm thinking the same thing. They do need to be there. They need to learn how to control their powers. And they, you know, they need to have, you know, therapy and all this stuff. So it was really all on the surface. It made sense, you know.
Yeah.
As a viewer, you realize before the characters that, you know, it's not what it seems, but it was plausible. Like, the whole idea of it was, you know, it really made sense that they should be there, so.
But yeah, poor Sam, though. I mean, I read about his character and that, like, what his powers are, and he's supposed to be, like, when he's in flight, he can't be harmed.
Right.
But he was always banged up in the movie because when he's landing, he's not in flight and he doesn't know how to land.
Right.
So he's coming. So
yeah, I thought that scene was great where he basically ties himself to a couple of cinder blocks and
then,
know,
just like flies around in a circle off really fast.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like, he doesn't know how to, it's like the Flash, right? When he first started, when he first was learning right how to run, he didn't know how to stop.
Greatest, you know, American hero.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to land. I just smash into a wall, you know?
Right. But yeah, so he's not, because he's in, you know, invincible when he's in flight, but then when he's not in flight and he's about to land, he's right, not invincible anymore, but he's still going the speed he was going.
Right. He's always got a broken arm. Yeah, he's always banged up.
He's always banged up. He's bruised, broken arms. It's, oh, poor guy. He's, if anybody wanted to get control of their powers, it was him.
Right.
Yeah, I know he killed an entire mine full of people, including his father, but he's banging himself up, too.
Yeah.
Did we get a background story on Roberto?
Well, a little bit. I mean, you know his parents are rich in Argentina, I believe, right?
Yeah.
You know he's from a very rich That's family right. in Argentina. And, you know, you get the story, you know, later on, you get the story of him and his girlfriend, you know. Because they do the truth or dare thing.
Yeah.
And, that was funny. You know, they want to know how many women he slept with. And, you know, it basically comes down to nobody, and he mentions that he gets too hot, and then, you know, they follow it up, you know, later on with the story with him and his girlfriend,
right?
You know, which was kind of, that was a little bit reminiscent of Rogue also, you know,
right,
from the X-Men, you know, because the same thing happened with her and her boyfriend, you know, where their powers manifest in a compromising position and the other party pays the price for that. So,
which made that whole scene in the pool that much more, I dare say, sinister, with Danny doing that to him.
Right.
It making him that vulnerable because you know how he feels. And then that, to think that she created that entire dream sequence.
Well, I don't know.
To
like,
play on him like that.
I don't think that's what it is, though, because she can't know that. Like, I think she causes their, I think they even said it. She causes them to relive their greatest fear. So his mind created the situation.
Ah.
She just sparked, like she just lit the flame. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
she
doesn't
the
know
power
though,
to bring your biggest fear to
right,
life.
Right. Cause she doesn't know gotcha. Their individual yep. stories.
Yeah, you're right. But she did know that story at that time because they'd already played Truth or Dare. So that's
well,
kind of why
knew,
I was thinking
right.
like maybe she did
it,
that, but.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, he says, I get too hot, but you don't, I mean, you can infer from that kind of what happened, but she wouldn't have known the details of it.
Yeah.
Because she kind of also knew with Rain, with the priest. So she kind of knew some of them, but she wouldn't have had any way to know about like Ileana's story or Sam's really. So I think, like I said, she lights the candle and like the candle is their fear.
Right.
And their mind creates the, you know, actually creates the story.
But again, that's what the misdirection that they did by that truth or dare. You're not sure what's going on, but then
right.
like you're right. You're absolutely right. It's like she didn't actually dream it up herself. She takes your nightmares and brings
it
them
makes
to life,
right. manifest
whether
them.
She knows what your nightmare is or not.
Right.
It amazes me about the people that are knocking this movie.
Well, I guess my question, and I've said this before with other things too, but like, if you don't like this movie, and it's fine if you don't, but if you right. don't like it, what did you want? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know what you wanted from it that you didn't get. To me, this was something, like, I liked this more than if it had just been another X-Men movie with different people, I probably wouldn't have liked it nearly as much. But the fact that they did something completely different with it, you know, and gave it this horror element and this mystery. And it was very much, like, it was a lot less of a superhero movie. Like, there wasn't that much
yeah.
fighting or, you know, there was the couple of fight scenes with, like, Ileana and the demon bear and all that. But it wasn't your traditional action superhero movie. I guess if that's what you wanted, maybe you didn't like this. But to me, even if that's what I wanted, I would have said, well, this was so different and so much not what I expected, that I still would have liked it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I thought it was
now
a
I went into it knowing that
job.
It was a horror. Like, we knew kind of going into it that it was more of a horror movie than a superhero movie, because they, you know, they've been talking about that for a while. Like, I feel like you should have already known that when you went in, but I still, like I said, I thought it was fresh, you know? And not that I don't want to see another, like, obviously I want to see another X-Men movie and another superhero movie, and I'm fine with all of those, but I would like to see them take different approaches to the, with, to the genres too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Logan, you could argue, is like a Western more than a superhero movie. You know, this one is a horror movie more than a superhero movie. So, like, when do we get, like, the, maybe the Batman, right? That's like a detective movie.
We hope.
And, like, I want to see them start playing with the characters in different genres, you know? Let's get a real sci-fi type of movie, but let the main character be, you know, somebody from a comic, like, Wolverine or something. I don't know anybody. He just the first person that came to my head. But, you know, let's get like a Star Trek movie, but with, you know, superhero characters. You know what I mean? Like, I like the idea of them playing around with the genres a little bit. And this was like the first one that we got that was, I mean, you could say Blade. Like, I don't consider Blade a horror movie. You know,
no, it had vampires. Not like this.
Yeah, I mean, it had vampires in it, but. Because that would be the argument. It's like, well, we already had a horror movie, but that wasn't really a horror movie.
No, because this, like, a real horror movie is like people are being killed or people are. There's a fear element. You don't know where it's coming from, and it's like that's the formula, right?
Right. And this had that suspense. Right. It had that suspense. It had that misdirection. And again, there was definite, like, there was real tension there. Like, as I was watching it, I felt the tension. Like I said, there were a couple of moments where there was like jump scares where I did kind of jump back a little bit in my seat because I wasn't expecting it. You know, like I said, it's got something jumping out from the shadows in a horror movie that you don't expect. So yeah, I liked it. I mean, this was by no means, like, we've both talked about how we liked them. I mean, this was by no means a masterpiece. Like, it's not the best thing I've ever seen. But I mean, it doesn't deserve the hate that it's getting. I think it's better than people are saying it is. And to me, it's not, because my first thought was, well, did I like it because I hadn't been to the movies for a while?
Right.
You know, but I don't know.
I liked it and I didn't even get popcorn.
Right. but I don't think that's true. Like, I don't think it had anything to do with the experience of being in the theater. Like, I just,
I thought it
was
pretty fresh. Just like you said, I thought it was like Logan and Deadpool, where they did something different with the comic genre. And Logan, like you said, is that kind of a Western, almost like Unforgiven.
Yeah.
And Deadpool is that rated R, over the top, talking to the fourth wall, breaking the fourth wall, whatever you want to call it. And this is definitely that. They nailed the horror genre with this. And I'm not a big horror fan. I don't go to see a ton of horror movies. They don't entertain me. But this one did.
Right.
Because it was New Mutants, and I was like, oh, I'll go see it. And it was about probably a third, a two-third, or about halfway through where I was like, oh, yeah, this is a horror movie.
Right.
I'd forgotten that it was billed that way.
Yeah.
And then you get into it, and you get that vibe, and you're like, then, like I said, you get that pool scene, and you're like, this is a definite horror movie. Imagine if they had gone rated R.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely could have taken it further.
Yeah.
And like I said, and again, even if you didn't love it, like I said, like, they tried something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they went for something different. And to me, like, you have to give credit for that.
Yeah, you got to respect the swing.
Even if it wasn't even if it wasn't perfectly executed, because it wasn't, like I said, there's definite things in it, but I mean, you have to give them credit for taking a shot and trying something new. And different that we hadn't seen before. And like I said, I think people are not giving it enough credit. I don't want people to hear this podcast and go out thinking it's like the best movie that they've ever seen, because it's definitely not that.
No.
But I look forward to the disc.
I look forward to watching it again.
It's worth your $20, you know, and it's worth your time. Like, it was, and it's not super, like, it's only 90 minutes or even a little bit less. Like, it wasn't a super long movie. But it's definitely worth your time and it's worth your money. Now again, is this like a COVID, like, is it worth going out and risking
your life?
Yeah.
No.
You know.
No. If you feel fairly confident going to the movies.
Right. If you if you don't feel comfortable going to the movies, like, this isn't a must see where you, like, you have to get out there and see it.
Right.
But if you feel comfortable enough, like I did, obviously, like I haven't stopped going anywhere. You know, I go out to eat all the time, I go to the store. Like, I had no issues going to the theater to see this. Because I know they're taking precautions and I know that they're doing to the best of their ability what they can do. So I'm not, but I've talked to a lot of people that they're just not going, you know, like there's hell. We listened to the Ralph Report, you and I both, and they're like, well, I'm not going to the movies until 2022. I don't care what it is, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that just aren't going to go.
But and if I can walk around Walmart, I can go sit in a movie theater that's literally half.
Yeah. This is safer than the grocery store.
Oh yeah. You know, definitely.
So
definitely. But yeah, no, I've heard people say that, and you know, to each his own. If you don't want to go, then I recommend when this comes out, rent it. It's even cheaper.
Exactly.
Definitely rent. I mean, it's worth the rent, and but I mean,
yeah, I'll buy it.
Check it out.
I'll buy it. Yeah. The disc when it comes out. Like I said, I liked it. You know,
3 months.
Yep.
Hopefully, actually, you know, it'll be interesting. I wonder if we're going to get this earlier on, like a Hulu or wherever, Disney Plus. Do you think they include this on Disney Plus on that? Like, remember we talked a little while ago about the, you know, a passcode or something?
Right.
Would this go on Disney Plus or Disney Plus passcode?
Well, it's PG-13, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, it is a little, it does skew a little adult because, like I said, it is kind of horror theme. I don't know. I don't know if it shows up there or not.
Hmm. That'll be interesting.
Again, maybe it goes to Hulu, like I said.
Because,
you know, Marvel does have a relationship with Hulu for some of their, you know, adult stuff. Like, we're getting, I think we're still getting Hellions or Hellfire or something over there on Hulu. So it might go live there for a while.
I'm just wondering where it'll be, like, early, where it only made $7 million, but maybe they can release it to the homes early.
It might go more traditional VOD. Like where you get it on like iTunes,
a $20
Voodoo, probably something like that.
But that's what I mean, because they do it, you know, what is it? Mulan's coming out.
Right.
Do they do that for a cheaper price than Mulan?
Yeah, like Mulan, it's not going to get a $30.
No, but they do a $19.99 watching your home and then.
But I don't know if it would be tied to Disney Plus. That's what I'm thinking. Like I said, it's probably Voodoo and iTunes and that kind of stuff. Amazon Prime or.
Right. We'll see.
All that.
We'll see. I would rent it. I would rent it there just to, you know, because I like to do that. That's a completely different hobby, but.
Right.
But hey, I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it.
Yep. Like I said, I think it's worth it. If you're not afraid to go to the theater, then I think you should go see it. Like I said, I think it was worthwhile.
Like you said, you were going to go see anything. So
I was glad to go to the theaters.
Same.
And you know, when I went there, they're playing Raiders of the Lost Ark. I talked to Lydia. I was like, man, we should come back this weekend and see Raiders. I haven't seen that in the theater since I was a kid. So.
Right. Yeah.
And then when we were walking out, I could hear it because the one thing is, for some reason, they had all the doors open to all the theaters.
That's their new ventilation policy.
Well, and I don't know. I was thinking that must have something to do with COVID because they don't usually have all the doors open. But I walked by Raiders of the Lost Ark and I was like, man, I kind of want to walk in and watch the rest of this movie.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, we were on the way out, so I didn't do that.
That was nice.
Yeah. But I could hear it when I was walking by. It was the part where they were on the docks.
It was calling you, John.
It was calling me.
It was calling you. You got anything else?
No.
Well, are you guys going to brave the COVID and check it out? Or are you going to wait? Or if you've seen it, let us know. Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. Or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. And please go on your podcast subscribers and rate, review, and subscribe. Oh, what do we got coming up this week, John?
Good question.
Thanks.
Yeah. I worked all day on it. All right, we have got, well, the two Empire follow-ups. So Empire Aftermath Avengers and Empire Fallout Fantastic Four are both coming out. They're one-shots. And then The Rise of Ultraman, number one, which I think was a five-issue miniseries. That is it.
Sounds good. All right, that is it. I am out of here. I am going on vacation. I'll be back in time for our Wednesday podcast, but
awesome.
Can't wait. Yeah. Can't wait.
Have fun.
Have a great week, everybody. I will see everybody on Thursday. John and I will be back, and have a good week.
Take care, everyone.